This is Deanna Spingola. It is Wednesday, September 19th, 2012, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Elaine Hollingsworth. She is the director of the Hippocrates Health Center of Australia. The website is doctorsaredangerous.com. Welcome to the program, Elaine. This is just wonderful to have you on. And you are down there in Australia.
I sure am. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. And it's quite wonderful to be talking to someone who's a former neighbor. I was born in St. Louis.
Oh, how nice. How nice. Yeah. I want to read just a little paragraph from your book. Your book is fabulous. It should be required reading for everyone. But let me read just from page 9. Burying their mistakes. More than 500,000 Australians were victims of medical mistakes last year, and 11,000 people died as a result. An estimated 80,000 were admitted to hospitals because they were either given the wrong medication or they took the wrong doses of drugs. Professor Bruce Barraclough, the head of the Australian Council for Safety and Quality in Healthcare, confirmed about 3% of hospital admissions, representing 500,000 patients, were the result of adverse events in the health system. These medical and hospital errors cost about $4 billion a year. And the name of your book, which I just highly, highly recommend, is Take Control of Your Health and Escape the Sickness Industry. I love that title. We usually hear people say the health industry, but you've nailed it. It's the sickness industry.
That's right. Yeah, well, there wouldn't be an industry if people weren't sick, and people wouldn't be sick if doctors knew what they were doing and weren't so very, very under the thumb of Big Pharma.
Oh, exactly. Now, I first heard of you. I wrote an article. I was writing articles for News with Views, and I'd written something about the soybean industry and how people were, how governments were compelled to plant soy. And you wrote me an email, and you told me how dangerous soy was, and recommended the book by Daniel.
Oh, it's a terrific book.
I bought the book. I've interviewed her a couple of times on my radio program. And that was back in 2006, I believe. And I immediately signed up to get the newsletters from your website, doctorsaredangerous.com. And I recommend that everyone go to your website, doctorsaredangerous.com, and sign up to get those email newsletters. They're just wonderful.
And they're all free.
And we
send out all sorts of interesting information, and it's completely free.
Fabulous. And you do send out remarkable, remarkable information. And you also offer a chapter from your book. I believe it was to receive free access to chapter 1. And, I mean, all the chapters are essential. And when I got your book, I couldn't decide which chapter I wanted to read first. I wanted to pick and choose. And then I thought, I'll start at the beginning, at the starting point. And I think that's probably where you would like to start tonight with the situation with bromine. And whoever thinks of bromine?
No, people don't think about it. And it is deadly. It's a crime against humanity. What happened with the bromine? The result of this crime actually dwarfs the war crimes of Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and George Bush, and that's going some. And this is not an exaggeration. More people have died because of this than all the wars put together, and there's nothing we can do about it. I have been railing about this for years. No one will pay attention to me. Oh, well, the people who read the book will, but certainly governments won't. I honestly, sometimes I think they're out to get us, the government.
I think you're right. I really do. I do think there is a depopulation program that was put in place in 1974.
Mm-hmm. One of my pet peeves is morbid obesity. the fact that so many young people have put on huge amounts of weight, the kind of weight that doesn't shift. And the reason is the soft drinks that they are eating, drinking. And there's nothing soft about them. They're poisonous. They're the big problem is the fact that they have bromine in them, and bromine slowly turns the liquid oil into a solid until it becomes so stiff that a spoon won't move. This is if you put it in bromine into something in a bowl. And this also happens in the body. And it goes a long way towards explaining the cause of the obesity that our young people are suffering from these days. All they have to do is stop drinking all soft drinks, and they will be able to lose weight.
And that is,
try to convince them.
That is all soft drinks and not just the diet drinks?
All soft drinks.
Okay.
There isn't one that's safe.
Right.
The only drinks that are safe are the ones you make at home. Good, pure water, fruit juice, but please put a lot of water in with the fruit juice, because there's too much of a sudden thing of sugar with the fruit juice.
Right.
So it needs to be diluted.
Okay, so what is bromine, and how did it become a part of our food? And it's in just about everything. How did it get there? And what did it replace?
Money. Always follow the money. Bromine is an antibacterial agent that's similar to chlorine. It's a fumigant for agriculture and for termites. It kills them, and yet they put it in our food. It's a virulent pesticide, and it kills insects on contact. And if it's injected into the soil, everything dies. And you probably had it for breakfast. It's pretty scary, isn't it?
Oh, indeed. So bromine, when did they start using it?
Oh, it's years. It's a long time ago. They used, remember Bromo Seltzer?
Yes, yeah.
Well, Bromo Seltzer was a huge moneymaker many, many years ago. I don't know, 50, 60 years ago. I can't keep all these statistics in my head, but a long, long time ago. And it actually cured hangovers. So people used it a lot. And people were hospitalized because of it. Sometimes they died because of taking too much of it. But never mind. It was all covered over because Big Pharma was making a fortune on it.
Now, didn't it cause paranoid psychosis?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely insanity. You know, this is all very depressing. And people think, oh, what can I do? This stuff is in everything, and it's going to kill me, blah, blah, blah. That's wrong, because there is, as I explain in the book, there is a way to get over it, an antidote that works beautifully, and it costs nothing, like a few cents a day. And it also, this wonderful remedy, which I call the universal remedy, stops people from having terrible depression, because this bromide causes depression, and you can't get it out of the body. But you can get it out with this universal remedy, which is iodine.
Oh, amazing.
Lugol iodine. It works miracles. Now, this is a panacea that has been used since 1927, I think, in France. A chemist named Jean Lugol invented it, and it has been used as a remedy for everything and for disinfecting things. Surgeons use it when they do surgery. They put it on the body, and it stops microbes. Now, here's the big problem. Big Pharma hates it, because it's something that costs pennies a day, if not that much. And they'll go broke if people discover how they can be their own doctors. So they're making it illegal. This is the thing that really gets me. It's very hard to buy it now. It's called Lugol's Solution. And I explain it very carefully in the book so that people know what it is, why they need it, and they can... If you really work at it, you can get it. You have to be, you have to be pushy. Most of the pharmacists have taken it out of their off their shelves now, but you can still get it. So please, everyone, be pushy. Go out and get it. Demand it. They have no right to take these things away from us.
Now, you can get it on the internet, though, correct?
Yes, yes, you can. And thank heaven for the internet.
Oh, indeed. Now, you were talking in your book about the fact that bromine caused all of the, or most of the Gulf War syndrome in the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So many of the soldiers came back insane. And they put them away. When they called, the government caused it by injecting them with these bromine and other terrible things because they thought that it was an antidote for chemical warfare.
Right. Well,
there wasn't any chemical warfare, but the soldiers were made deathly ill by the bromine. And of course, the government won't admit it. Can you imagine all the lawsuits against the government if it ever became public knowledge that they had caused Gulf War syndrome?
Oh, exactly.
Now, I'm not explaining this very well because it's a bit complicated, but it's in the book, very carefully outlined in the book.
Right. And and you talked about soft drinks, which I think is, I don't drink soda at all. I haven't for years because it just didn't seem to make sense to me. It's all sugar, and I'm very glad that I don't drink it, but I do have friends, one friend particularly, that drinks diet soda, and I've told her numerous times that it's got aspartame in it, that it's awful, it's terrible, and she has a problem. She has a lot of weight in her midriff section. And after reading your book and having you explain it so well, it's because of the bromine in that soda that she can't get rid of that, her midriff.
That's exactly right. She's doing it to herself. She thinks she's losing weight by having diet drinks. They're misnamed. They
yes.
should be called fat drinks because they make people fat.
Wow.
And they also are very, very addictive. There is so much information on this. So many doctors have written them. I have a lot of doctors' names in the book so people can check on it. I'm not some wild-eyed fanatic making these things up. I've gotten this from some of the finest doctors in the world. I phone them, and it's just absolutely amazing what you can do on the phone, calling scientists and asking to talk to them. I mean, it really is... Ever since I started working on the book, like 10 or 15 years ago, I called a world-famous scientist in Germany. I didn't know how to reach him. I called an operator in Hamburg or someplace, and she said, oh, yes, we know him. And finally, we got his number. I called him, and his secretary answered, and they all speak English. And she said, well, why do you want to talk to Doug? I can't think of his name. Why do you want to talk to him? I said, well, I have some questions I want to ask. And she said, okay, I'll put him on. And there he was, one of the top scientists. He gave me a half an hour.
Wow. Now, is that the Flechas, Flechas, that you're referring to? Elaine, are you there? Did I leave it? This affects the central nervous system, and it's a depressant because of the BVO that it contains, and that is the bromine. And are you back?
Yeah, well, yes. We were kind of cut off. Where did we stop?
I just kept going. You were talking about the doctor in Germany, and I asked you, is that George Flechas or F-L-E-C-H?
Oh, no, he's an American.
Okay. I wasn't sure what you're talking.
He's terrific. I had a wonderful conversation with him about this. He is on a crusade to try to stop soft drinks from being sold, but he's not winning. Because there's too much money involved.
Right. And I was just telling the listeners about Mountain Dew.
Horrible.
Yeah, and it's promoted as something that's very good for athletes.
Oh, I know. Gatorade, all these things. It's an absolute crime and a scandal. And I get really frustrated. In fact, I get frustrated a lot.
Yes,
but
we
can do is just keep going and keep pushing and keep getting the information out. And I can tell you I haven't made any friends in Australia, in the establishment. They say I'm a fanatic, And well, maybe I am. Who knows?
Well, I think that you're doing a really good thing. I mean, I love your book. I've read several chapters over maybe three times because they are so applicable to me. And
yes.
You talk about the pollution that we have, about the deadly mercury from amalgam fillings and artificial sweeteners and fluoride and pesticide exposure and food additives and electromagnetic radiation, vaccinations.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Now you're depressing me.
Oh, and you talk about Prozac.
Oh, Prozac. I can't tell you how many people I have come across who have committed suicide because of Prozac. And many murders are caused by it. I have quite a lot in the book on the these terrible school murders, you know, when they go in and they kill a whole lot of people. They're almost, in fact, I would say always on some kind of drug, antidepressants or some kind of drug, and they always say it in the news. I don't know if they do it in America, but they do it here. They say, oh, he was on Prozac, or he was on this one or that one, and then they stop. They don't do it anymore because the bad guys get in and they tell the powerful people that if they don't stop mentioning that Prozac is doing it, they're going to take their advertising away. This is the way it works.
Right. Well, they don't even mention that here. We have a lot of commercials on these pharmaceutical drugs, and they do mention some of the side effects, but they say it so fast, and because you're watching this visual of people happy and they're getting better, and they always have actors or well-known people promoting this garbage, it's very persuasive. And then they just kind of briefly mention the side effects, including death or suicide.
Well, some of the side effects, if you read the side effects on drugs that you buy, they are so horrifying that you would never take the drug. Now, for example, there was one drug that had side effects. The last two were blindness and death.
Oh, my
now,
goodness.
Now, it seems to me those aren't side effects. That seems a bit worse than a side effect. And it's certainly not worth taking it when you can fix yourself up with a proper diet. This is what I get so excited about. All it takes for almost all illnesses is just to get off the junk food. And don't get me, I suppose you should get me started, but it's better you don't, because I can go on and on about children who have asthma, who are given the most appalling drugs, including the antidepressants, when all they need to do is go off dairy products and starches. Grains. That's all they have to do, and they're perfectly okay.
Right. Yes, you are against grain, and a lot of people that I talk to are against grain. And I went gluten-free probably back in October of last year, actually, or November of last year.
Uh-huh.
And I feel better. And speaking of bread and speaking of, bromine, getting back to the subject of bromine, we often say, well, okay, I don't drink soft drinks, so how could I be ingesting bromine? And what they did is they started putting it in the bread. So why don't you tell
That's
us
exactly
about
right.
that and what they took
they did
out?
They did something so incredibly foul. They mandated that people had to stop putting iodine in the bread, which is a disinfectant, and it worked perfectly. And they forced them to put bromine in. And a friend of mine who had a dairy told me she had the most perfect milk, and she always used iodine. And they came to her, the milk board came to her, and told her if she continued putting iodine, the best disinfectant there is, on her equipment, that they would stop her from making the milk, selling the milk. And they made her use bromine. She said it ruined the milk. And she did it because she had a business and she had no choice. But she didn't do it for her family because she knew it was poison.
And
all orchestrated by Big Pharma, who then put pressure on the politicians, who are as corrupt as they can be. They'll do anything for a buck. I mean, I haven't got a good word to say about any of them.
I agree.
Oh, one thing that really, speaking of politicians, when I found out how incredibly dangerous the drug Aldara is, I went to my senator, and she gave me an hour to tell her and to show her all of the literature that I had proving that this is a killer drug. And she said to me, I am absolutely appalled and horrified by this, and tomorrow I'm meeting our the head of the medical thing, I forget what you call it, doesn't matter. Anyway, he's the boss on who he decides what drugs are legal and what drugs aren't legal.
Kind of like the FDA in Australia?
Just a politician.
Okay.
She met with him the next day, and she told him the truth about this horrible drug. And 2 days later, he gave the company, he gave $30 million to subsidize that drug in Australia. Now, this is how corrupt our government is. And the American government is every bit as bad, of course.
All governments. Right.
Yeah.
Now, they used to put
that's who it was. I'm sorry?
They used to put iodine in all bread and apparently in milk. And that was good because nobody had thyroid problems then.
That's right.
So what happened when they took out the iodine from the bread and the milk and put in something else?
The bromine. Well, it was cataclysmic. Yes, it ruined the health of people all over the world. Now, there are some countries where they haven't done this, but it's the English-speaking countries. For some reason, they seem to be more corrupt than the others when it comes to our food and medicine. I've noticed that. I've been researching all this stuff for so many years now that I have noticed that it's a lot easier to get information in non-English-speaking countries.
Really?
Now, yeah.
Elaine, how many years have you been working on this? When did you become very, very health conscious, and what happened that made you that way?
Oh, it's more or less all my life. My mother was interested in natural health, and she got me going, and I read everything I could get my hands on, and I knew some very interesting doctors in America and in Europe when I lived in Europe for a long time, and I just... studied and learned more and kept learning, and I read everything, and then I counseled people at the health center, of course. People kept saying, you got to write a book. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to write a book. But I finally did it because it was easier than talking to people. I can just give them the book.
Sure.
And it took off like crazy. It's just been huge. I never dreamed it would be so successful. It's all over the world now. We bring it in by ship from Singapore in huge containers, and out it goes to other countries. And it's been very exciting to think that I'm having some influence, because it's utterly frustrating if you can't do anything to help at all. And I feel that I have done a bit to help. I'm not the only one. There are plenty of other people out there, like the woman you talked about who wrote the book on soy, which is one of the most terrible things in the food supply. It isn't the food, it's a poison.
Right.
And nobody should touch it. It is so dangerous. And giving it to babies instead of breast milk or any other kind of milk is a crime against babies.
Right.
It really is terrible. It must be about 10 years ago now, I was asked to do a television show here, a national show, on soy. And soy was considered the most wonderful food on earth. So I got on, and they rubbished me so badly on the show. It was really terrible. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise. They kept putting me down. And it was interesting because the next day, the television station had hundreds of calls from people complaining about the way I'd been treated. They had to put me on again. And I said, I'm not going to go up to Brisbane another time and get rubbished by your people. I said, they'll have to keep quiet and let me say what I want to say. So they said, okay, anything you want to do. So I did it. Well, that was the beginning of the end for soy in Australia. It really did the trick, because it was a huge television show. And we got, with this thousands and thousands of calls and emails from people who told us they finally understood why their babies were sick. One woman had a little girl of 5 who was menstruating.
Oh.
And she was growing breasts because of the hormones in the soy. I can go on about, this is one of my big subjects. I absolutely hate this stuff.
Well, I remember when you wrote to me, because I'd done this article, and I threw out everything that that had soy in the house.
Great, that's wonderful.
Because you read that article, and because you reached out to me, and I believed you, and I got your book. This is you've done several versions of the book.
This is the 12th edition now.
Exactly. Amazing. Yeah. Now, people can get your book by going to doctorsaredangerous.com.
And it's really better in America to go to, we have a distributor in America named Richard Beasley, who was also poisoned by Aldara. And that's how we made connection with each other. And he's now selling the book, and we have a DVD, and we have a thing called Escape the Cancer Mafia. He sells it all, and he's at www.escapethesicknessindustry.com.
Perfect.
So people can get the book if they want from him.
Right. And if you didn't write that down, listeners, you just go to products, and if at Doctors Are Dangerous, just click products, and it takes you right to the product online service, and you can click for local and international stockists. Just click where you see that, and it will take you right to another page, and just click away, and you'll find the distributor in America. If there's any problems, just email Elaine or email me. And but people, you really do need to have this book. I've read a lot of health books, and this one is so comprehensive, and honestly, it has helped me. Really helped me. I just, especially with the chapter on stomach acid. In fact,
that's so important.
Oh yes. In fact, I bought the book that you recommended, Why Stomach Acid is Important.
Isn't that a wonderful little book? I phoned them too and picked their brains.
Love that book. It has just been a godsend, honestly. So I just really highly recommend your book. It's
that's
fabulous.
Thank you very much.
So anyway, we have all this iodine taken out of the bread, which is the staff of life. Everybody eats bread, or at least everybody did eat bread. And so now we have all these people hypothyroid. They have hypothyroidism.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's caused by several things. Soy, of course, which absolutely knocks out the thyroid, and taking the iodine out of the bread and putting poisonous bromine in it as if they want to kill us all. Those two things guarantee thyroid problems, either overactive or underactive. It's inexplicable. Somebody's got to explain to me why government agencies want to kill us all. But I don't think it's that simple. I think that the real truth is, follow the money. There's so much money to be made selling these things. They go to the politicians, and they support them. They support their campaigns. They give them money. So politicians, being what they are, they go ahead and do what Big Pharma wants them to do.
Right. And so many.
I get terribly excited about these things.
Oh, I understand, and justifiably so. So instead of using iodine, they want people to be on medications such as Synthroid, and it's much more expensive, and they make more profit if they can sell you chemicals. And a lot of the doctors, when you talk about iodine and say, well, wouldn't it be better if I just took iodine and fixed my thyroid? They say, oh, no, you don't need that. You get all the iodine you need in your food, but you do need to take the Synthroid.
And that's right. And they actually say that Lugol's solution that's been used for more than 100 years with great success is poisonous. They have the nerve to say it's poison.
Wow.
You've read the chapter on thyroid, so
absolutely.
You know. That the synthetic thyroid ruins the bones. And that's another reason there's so much osteoporosis, is because people are on the synthetic thyroid, so they their bones disintegrate. And the doctors won't admit that. But that if you have to take a thyroid medication, which many people do, you get the natural one that's been sold for 100 years that I know of.
And that's Armour Thyroid?
Yeah. Well, it isn't necessarily Armour. That's in the book. It's Armour, and but you got to be careful with Armour, because sometimes they put artificial sweeteners in their thyroid, which infuriates me. I've written nasty letters about it, but I'm not sure they pay attention. But as long as you get a natural thyroid, as long as it isn't Synthroid, that's the killer.
Right. And most doctors will not provide that. They will not give you a prescription for that. They tell you no, that Synthroid is the best one, because I asked. I'm on Synthroid, and I asked probably 5 years ago. Can't you please give me Armour Thyroid, something more natural? And the doctor said no. And you do have a website in the book. What is it? International Pharmacy, where one could possibly get it, but that company is not allowed to ship into the United States.
Uh-oh. Now, let me ask you something. There are an awful lot of natural doctors around in America. There used to be, anyway. Can't you find one who will give you a prescription for natural thyroid?
Yes, I think I just need to do that. And certainly
I highly recommend that, because of your bones. You don't want to lose your bones.
No. But I do take, I've been taking iodine for about 5 years. I take iodorol, which is in pill
That's
form.
Great. That's fine.
So, but I do need to do something. It's just, you know, people get sucked into believing what their doctor says, even though, as you say, doctors are dangerous.
Yes.
And I've known people who have just gone off their Synthroid just totally, and they seem to be fine.
Well, do they replace it with the natural thyroid?
No. I know one lady that just simply quit taking it.
Well, did she at least take iodine?
I believe so.
That's different. Now, look, the iodine, I haven't even had a chance to say all the wonderful things that the iodine can do. It can fix up is not the right word, but breast cancer. There are just so many things that the iodine can help with. And to me, one of the most stunning things of all is that it can absolutely banish depression. The worst kind of depression can be fixed up in 3 days on iodine. I have something I think in my book, but I knew a woman who had horrible, debilitating depression for 10 years. She couldn't go out. She couldn't do anything. She did every test known to man except the iodine test. And finally, through my book, that sounds conceited, but hey, that's why I write the book, so I can help people.
Sure.
She found the iodine. She took it, and within 3 days, 10 years of depression were gone. And it's so thrilling to think that that's all it takes. And it's absolutely scary to think that they're trying to take it away from us. But thanks to the internet, I don't think they can do it completely.
Right. Now, this Lugol solution, you recommend that it contain 5% iodine and 10% potassium iodide in water.
I don't recommend that. That's what it contains.
Okay. There are some on the internet. I was looking, and some of it only contains 2%. Some of it contains 5%. There are different kinds that you can get. So I think it's important, like this one, Lugol's iodine solution, 2.2%. I think you really need to.
No, that's probably not enough.
Right.
I think people have to. I can't prescribe.
No.
I can't do it because I'm not allowed to, and I don't have the qualifications. I don't feel right about it. But I can say one thing, and that is that if you take iodine, what you need to do is experiment with yourself. I have found how much works for me. If I take more than the usual amount, I might have a little bit of extra feeling of heart, maybe a heart, not really a heart, but just feel a little bit stimulated. So what you have to do is find your own level. play around with it. If you get a good iodine, a good Lugol's, even though you get confused about what it should contain, it's going to work for you. It's just a matter of finding your dose. Get accustomed to your own body. Learn to listen to your body, because it's a lot smarter than you are and a lot smarter than your doctor.
Now it says in your book, and you quote Dr. Brownstein,
excuse me, a terrific doctor. That's a great book. I recommend everybody get that book.
I have it.
Oh, you have it. It's terrific, isn't it?
Right, it is. And he says uh-huh. iodine is the safest of all trace elements, being the only one that can be administered safely for long periods of time to large numbers of patients in daily amounts as high as 100,000 times the recommended daily RDA.
Right, right.
That's amazing.
Well, so he's the man to listen to. We all are different, and we have to find our own levels. And if you read that book, you get very comfortable with it, and just pay attention to what he says, because he knows what he's doing. Now, I have a whole lot of doctors listed at the end of this chapter on bromine and iodine. And for further reading, people can find those books. Most of them are in the libraries.
Okay. And, yes, one of the doctors says that iodine is detected in every organ and tissue in the body.
Absolutely.
And you talked about breast cancer, that it helps for people to prevent from getting breast cancer if they have.
It's not only, it's a preventative, and it also helps to get rid of it. And, of course, that's another subject, because we haven't talked about black cell, have we? No. This is another thing that's being demonized by the medical profession, because they see billions of dollars of loss when people learn how they can get rid of their own cancer by putting black salve on it. I have it. You've got my video?
Yes.
About black salve and yeah, right, good. Well, it's all there, and people can make their own if they want to, or they can buy. It's cheap to buy, and the government's trying to take it away from us, of course. But we won't let them do that, because we've got the internet.
Oh, thank goodness for the internet.
I explain in the book, in the DVD that comes with the book, by the way, it's explained exactly how to make the black salve and cure your own cancer.
Okay. Now you have, there are actually three DVDs in the book that I got, and they are One Answer to Cancer, and Escape the Cancer Mafia, and
that's a CD. A CD you can listen to in the car or whatever.
Okay.
Escape the Cancer. The first one is about Aldara and skin cancer and black salve. It's all in the DVD. It's almost 2 hours long, and there are a lot of interviews with people who got rid of their cancers through using this stuff. So there's that, and then there's a CD called Escape the Cancer Cancer Mafia?
Mafia, uh-huh.
Right, and that has some great stuff in it to save people from the cancer mafia, as I call them.
Right.
And then there's a little one, a little DVD about my career.
Right, which has been stunning. You started out as a Hollywood actress. You're still absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Just gorgeous. And there's a picture of you. It was actually taken in 2001 on your website.
Right.
And I'm not even going to say how old you are.
Oh, that's all right. I'm 84.
Amazing. And you're in perfect health, correct?
No, I wouldn't say I'm in perfect health, no. But I would be if I hadn't used Aldara.
Oh, so that's from personal experience that you write about it.
That's exactly right. It almost killed me.
What did you use it for?
I had a tiny skin cancer on my nose. It was really tiny. And, you know, you can't help but be nervous about that. So I went to a doctor, much as I hate them. And he said, oh, we've got this wonderful salve. You just put it on it and it'll go away. And I said, but I am extremely delicate. I have low adrenal function. I'm very delicate. I can't take drugs. He said, no, this is benign. Nobody's ever been hurt by it. Well, it almost killed me. I mean, really almost killed me. And it's killing people all over the world. And nobody cares. Well, the people care who have been poisoned. But the government doesn't care. The company doesn't care. They're just going right ahead and doing it. They're about as corrupt as it's possible to be. And that's why I made the video, so that people can be warned about this. And it's selling all over the world. So it's not doing 3M any good. They're not happy with me. And Richard Bees, the man in America who is our distributor, was horribly damaged by it.
Oh, dear.
It does things like, for example, you just start bleeding all over. You bleed from your eyes, from your nose, from your mouth, from your vagina, from your penis. It's just constant bleeding from everything. And you think you're going to die, which, of course, you just about are. So people, do not let a dermatologist talk you into using a salve for skin cancer. There's only one that I know of that's safe, and that's black salve. And that's in the video.
Okay.
We have people who had terrible breast cancer who put this stuff on, just made a little prick with a needle, put it on, stuff goes in, and the cancer comes out. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It can be painful. It can be unpleasant. You've got to go through a pretty bad period, but the cancer comes out and the breast remains intact, and you don't have to go to the hospital and get all sorts of awful drugs. This is all in the video. So, I've done my bit to bring down this company.
Good for you.
I haven't done it yet. I'm still trying.
Good for you. Well, I think that, as I said, everyone needs to have your book. And particularly, in your book you say that one in three women will get cancer. Is that what I read?
Say that again. I didn't get that.
In your book, you state the number of people who get cancer, and as a ratio, one in three women, I believe, is what I read.
Oh, it's huge. It is really scary. Yeah.
So people need to read your book. People need to know about what they can do for themselves before they come down with something. Because once you get something, some dreadful disease or any disease, then you get you become vulnerable, and then you run to the doctor, and they exploit your vulnerability. And before you know it, you've had surgery, you've taken radiation. If you know about these things beforehand, you can help yourself without.
You don't get yourself into that position where you feel you have to let them do what they want to do to you. The thing is that there is no safe level of radiation, not one tiny bit. I have that very well documented in the book. Not one. Any kind of radiation is terrible. You should never be x-rayed, ever, 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 unless you break something and there's no choice and you have to get fixed up. I have a lot of respect for doctors who take broken bodies and put them back together again. Some of them are absolutely wonderful. They haven't got a clue about natural health, and they'll stick you with all sorts of terrible poisons while you're in the hospital. And if you're lucky, you'll get out without getting staph or something else, but they are terrific. Most doctors, and I don't think it's their fault, really, but what happens is they get into medical schools, they're owned by the pharmaceutical companies. So what do we expect? We have to realize that they are going to be oriented toward drugs, not towards any kind of prevention. They don't believe in it. The medical schools hate prevention because they're out of business. If people learn how to take care of themselves, these dreadful hospitals, pharmaceuticals, doctors, etc., are going to be out of business. That's why I wrote the book.
Right. Now, when you were very ill after taking this terrible drug, what did you do to recover from that?
Oh, boy. That's a big subject. Yeah. I did a lot of things. For one thing, I couldn't get out of bed. I must have been at least a month. I bled from every orifice. And there wasn't one doctor who would admit that it had caused it, even though it happened the very day I took it. And the really awful part of it is that the people who have been damaged so badly, who have no money and no one to help them, they cannot get a doctor to testify for them so that they can sue the company. Can't do it. The doctors won't do it. It's a really terrible how corrupt they are. But to answer that question, I tried everything there is to try. And the reason I'm still alive is because I live in a health center. I'm well taken care of. And I have good air. We have a beautiful 9-acre property here, way outside, so that we're not near a town and we don't get pollution. And I have all of the advantages that unfortunately most people don't have. I'm very lucky that I had that help. I would have died for sure. And as are so many of the people we've heard from. It's been about 7 years now. And during those 7 years, I have gotten probably between two and 10 emails every single week from people who are dying, or friends of people who have died, or people who are very, very, very sick from this Aldara. I have an enormous collection of letters. It doesn't matter. You cannot stop them and you can't sue them, because no doctor will admit that there's anything wrong with them, because they're owned by the pharmaceuticals. It's really a scandal.
Amazing. And they do stick together, the lawyers and the doctors stick together.
Oh, don't they?
And like you, I believe, yes, if you have something broken, if you get in a car accident or something, then yes, you should have a doctor to set your bones and whatever. But I think 50 or 60 years ago, people went to the doctor when they really had something wrong with them. Now people go to the doctor at the drop of a hat, and
that's
they
true.
Expect to walk out with a prescription.
That's exactly right. Do you know, when I was a child, now we're talking 80 years ago, I never, ever knew any child who had any kind of an illness, ever. Until I was 22 years old, I never even heard the word cancer. Now, why is that? Why is it that we had none of these things, and then suddenly they came upon us like a torrent, a tsunami of illness? It's totally the fault of the pharmaceuticals and the doctors knuckling under to the money. Imagine that. Children now, you see it all the time on television, these hospital wards with little kids with their heads shaved and horrible things sticking in their veins, and the oxygen in the nose. No, the poor babies, they have leukemia. Why do they have leukemia? No one ever says, why is it these children have leukemia? How does this happen? Why is it the children have horrendous asthma and use drugs that are absolutely horrendous for the asthma, and nobody ever says, hey, get your dietary act together. Do something about this. The right. Parents just go right ahead and say, well, whatever the doctor says is what we'll do.
Right.
So the children suffer.
And, of course, this is all vaccine-related, or not all of it, but certainly much of it is.
Absolutely. We never had those things when we were children. We got everything. We had mumps, measles, whooping cough, the whole thing. We got them. They didn't kill us, but we didn't get those terrible injections. I hate to think what kind of damage they do. And they have mercury in them. They have things in them that you just can't imagine sticking into a little child.
Right.
Yeah.
Live viruses. I mean, children are vaccinated for several different diseases all at one time.
That's right.
They naturally would never, never encounter that onslaught of viruses all at one time. And
never.
It just destroys their immune system.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how much longer the human race has, because each generation gets weaker. I see it all around me, how weak people have become, and how easily they get sick, and how very, very ill they become when they do become sick. It's scary. Everybody I know eats well. I mean, I don't muck about with junk fooders or drinkers or smokers. Nobody smokes in front of me without getting decked. I won't have it. So the people that I know are good, healthy people. and we all eat well, and we exercise, and we look after ourselves properly, so we don't get these things. It's as simple as that.
Right. Amazing. Oh, yeah. You're just a treasure. You really are. Well, I would like to do this again.
I'd love it. It'd be fun.
Because you have several chapters in the book, and you were talking about the adrenal system, and that you had a weak adrenal system, and I think that's important. I think every chapter in your book is important, so I would like to do this again, and we'll talk about something else. It's a fabulous book, and I hope that our listeners will get a copy and read it and reread it. And honestly, it really has helped me. I just and I haven't had this book that long. I mean, I got the first edition way back when, but I think I must have been feeling really well. And of course, I read a lot of it. I read the soy chapter. And but then, you know, as life goes on, you come up with something else that isn't quite feeling right, and you think, gosh, I wonder what this is. I wonder why my stomach hurts. And in reading your book, a situation that happened to me last year, I was able to kind of resolve it just by reading your book and putting something that you recommended into practice, with the stomach acid. Gosh, it's amazing. It is just amazing.
Well, this is what I live for. This is why I did the work, why I could kill myself writing the book and sending it around the world. People like you and other people who tell me that they have helped themselves when they thought there was no hope, that keeps me going. It really does. Now, you mentioned the acid. I think that is one of the most important things we can talk about, because doctors hand out antacids like candy. Well, speaking of candy, they all have candy in their offices too.
Yes.
On the counter for people to buy, to take when they come in. Anyway, antacids are as bad as soy, maybe worse. They do so much damage, it's just devastating. So we can talk about that sometime.
Oh, I would love to. Absolutely love to. Nobody should ever take an antacid, ever. They should be outlawed.
Do you know a friend of mine in Los Angeles who was, I lived in L.A. for years, he was an orthopedic surgeon. And this is years ago, and he already knew. He said all antacids should be against the law, because he can't operate on people who have been taking them for a long time because their bones have been destroyed. Isn't that incredible? And it must be 50 years ago that he told me this.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, let's do this again.
I'd love it. It's been great. I love the American accent. I do get sick of hearing these Aussie accents all the time.
Well, you're in a good place, and you're doing some wonderful, wonderful work. I love your website. You have so much information there, and I hope that people will sign up for the newsletter and purchase your book and just read about all the things that you have there. Thank you so very much. And we'll talk
again.
You're very
welcome. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
We will talk again very soon. Thank you.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.